Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
I believe that if you've been saved for more than 5 years, you should be teaching others. You should be making disciples, someone that they can emulate what you're doing. Now, I'm not just talking about like what happens on Sunday mornings or what I'm doing right now tonight. Not everyone is called to be a teacher in the sense of being a Bible teacher, because the book of James actually says, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. So I'm not talking about opening up the Word of God and exegeting it verse by verse and you know, teaching through the Word of God, in a congregational setting. I'm talking about finding someone that you can teach how to live a Christian life. If you can't tell someone how to be a Christian, then I'm a firm believer you're not really a Christian yourself. If you're like, I'm really not sure, like, what would I tell them? Maybe Spencer could help them. Maybe Jordan is pastor to church. He's an evangelist. Maybe he can help them. No, the people on your job, if you can't tell them and show them how to be a Christian, then you're like the people that are in this passage that he's saying, you should be teaching people right now, but you need somebody to just bottle feed you some milk because you don't even know how to get the Word of God and receive it and listen to it and learn from it and then teach other people how to emulate your lifestyle. If you would be scared of someone living the way that you live, then you should change the way that you're living. By the help of God, by reading the Word, if you would say, I don't really want my children to live like me, then you need to change how you're living. If you wouldn't want your coworkers to imitate your habits and your thought patterns and the way that you speak and the way that you treat people, then you should probably evaluate and go, wait a second, I should probably ask God to help me with those things. If you're a believer that someone else can't pattern their life after, then you're exactly that. You're a believer, but you know what you're not? You're not a follower. The book of James says, even demons believe and tremble. We're not called to just be believers. We're called to be followers. And if the people around us in our lives cannot follow us, then all we are is a believer. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Bible. I believe in the truth. But are you following Jesus? That's the question. Because even demons believe and tremble. Belief is step one. Following is a perpetual state of following Jesus Christ every single day. So we don't just make a profession of faith, that we begin a journey of faith. When we come to belief in Jesus Christ, that's day one of a journey of walking that follows in the likeness and the character of Jesus Christ. So I want to just say this. If your goal for Christianity is anything short of Christ's likeness, then you've missed the crux of Christianity. The whole goal of Christianity is to become like Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 13, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. The Apostle Paul, and I'm not going to go to every scripture tonight that tells us to emulate the life of Jesus Christ, but I want to give you a few. The Apostle Paul was fixated on living like Jesus Christ. He gave his life to it. In fact, he said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He also said to the Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So think like Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He also said, for those whom he foreknew, that he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So that's what Paul was saying about conforming to the image and the likeness and the character of Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews wants his audience to experience something deeper in a spiritual matter, but he says he can't because it's difficult to explain, not because he doesn't have adequate words, but because the hearer's ears are dull. He's saying, if you guys could really understand this, I could peel back the layers of the onion and we could talk about Jesus Christ being a priest forever, a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. But the reason that it's difficult is not because I don't know how to explain it or not because I don't understand it. It's because your ears have become spiritually dull. Now, it's amazing to me that if I were to take it 7:08, if I were to take the next, just turn 7:09, if I were to take the next 10 to 20 minutes talking about the Super Bowl halftime show debacle, I would have everybody's attention. Because that's a natural thing that you've been seeing, you've been hearing, it's on the news, it's on Facebook, it's on Instagram. Everybody's got their opinion about how bad the Super Bowl's halftime show was. And then some people are praising the Turning Point thing. Then some people are condemning the Turning Point thing. And everybody's got their own opinion on what it is. And if I were to talk about it, you know what? That would just be hitting a hot topic and everybody would listen. Everybody would be engaged because you want to know, what do I think? Right? Like, what's he think about that or about this? Is he going to condemn that one? Is he going to praise that one? Is he going to condemn that one? Is he going to say it doesn't matter about that one? And the reason that we would be so engaged in that, but when we talk about growing spiritually and maturing, sometimes it feels like pulling teeth because our ears have become spiritually dull. Because we're so naturally inclined to hear about what's taking place in popular culture and in America, and we're more American focused than we are kingdom focused. And we're so engaged in the world and the things of this world. And the Bible tells us, do not love the world, neither the things of this world. And you say, well, I'm hating the things of this world. No, you don't understand sometimes that what you give your time and your attention and your effort to is really what you love the most. You may say you don't love it, but if that's what you're devoting yourself to, that's a form of worship. And so we have to realize that we need to allow our ears to not be spiritually dull, but to be sharp, because the spiritual ear is dull, but the natural ear is sharp. And you know what makes something sharp? Intentionality. No knife in your drawer is getting sharp while you are at church tonight. No axe in your garage or in your shed is in your garage sharpening itself. If you're going to make something sharp, you have to intentionally get that knife out, that axe out, that machete, whatever it is, that chainsaw blade, and you have to sharpen it by intentionality. Nothing gets sharp on its own. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we should not be dull of hearing. Let me give you an example of what dull of hearing looks like. It's when you come in on a Wednesday night or on a Sunday morning, and myself or anyone else, could be me, could be Pastor Lauren, could be Madison, could be Jordan, could be Jeff, could be anybody. Somebody's up here talking about the Word of God and you're sitting there going, I've heard this before. You know what that is? That's dull ears spiritually. I already know about this. I could teach others this. Well, then why aren't you? Because that's what the writer of Hebrews said. He said, you should be teaching others, but you're not. Why? Because your own ears are so dull. You may say, well, no one's asked me to teach yet. If you need a pulpit and a microphone and a crowd to teach somebody, then you're not really teaching them. You're looking for popularity and you're looking for recognition. And you're looking for somebody to pat you on the back, and you've made it about you, which means you've already failed. It's not looking for an opportunity or a platform. I would encourage you, find a young believer. Find someone who is not a believer and begin to speak the gospel into their life. Find someone. I used to say, like, don't make someone a project. I'm backing up on that. Make them a project, but do it the right way. Not where they feel like a project and some trophy to be won, but where you go, God, I'm going to pray for this person. I'm going to love on this person. I'm going to speak about Jesus when I'm around this person. I'm not going to be ashamed to pray about around this person. And you find someone, you reach out, get your family on the couch and go, hey guys, let's read the Word of God together tonight, because we don't want to just be stuck on that milk. We want to get to the meat. We don't want to have spiritually dull ears. We want to be sharp and ready to receive what God has for us. But the problem is there's dullness of hearing in the church today, because those who are spiritually hungry and mature listen to anything that might help them know Christ better. But if you don't have a desire for Christ's likeness or to know Christ better, you will come and sit through and only listen to about 5 or 10% of what is said. In fact, people say that you only retain somewhere between 12 and 15% of every sermon that you hear. Do you know why? It's because your ears are spiritually dull. It's not because that's all that you have the ability to compute and to receive. So the writer of Hebrews says, you've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. So how can we solve this problem? I think we would say, well, if the way to solve the problem is to read the Bible. And you guys know I'm a big proponent of reading the Bible. I think that you should read the Bible every single day. And I don't think that you should just kind of shotgun your approach and flip it open. And where's the Lord going to lead me today? If that's how you read the Bible, I beg you to stop reading the Bible that way. That is okay for extracurricular Bible reading, but you need a systematic plan that is working you from beginning to the end so that you get the entirety of the Word of God and you hear the whole story. And can I just tell you, the verse of the day on YouVersion is not reading your Bible. That's the most lazy thing of as a Christian that I've ever heard in my entire life. Well, I look at the verse of the day. Well, you are the exact same people that the writer of Hebrews is talking about, that you should be teaching others, but you can't because you're dull of hearing, because you are not sharpening yourself by hearing and hearing by the Word of God and that faith coming inside of you. And you're so lazy that you just let your phone tell you what verse you're going to read today. And you think that you're going to live and have light under your feet and a lamp under your path from one verse on YouVersion a day. And I'm not belittling the Word of God. I believe in the power of the Word of God. I'm saying we should fill ourselves with the Word of God. But it's not reading only. Because when this book was written that we hold in such high esteem and such high regard, no one that the writer is writing to had a copy of it in their house. They didn't even have the Old Testament in their house. The Old Testament, like only uber wealthy people had a copy of the Old Testament. Do you know how you had to receive the scriptures? What we call the scriptures in the first century, they called the Tanakh, the Old Testament, the Hebrew Old Testament. They called that their scriptures. Do you know the only way that they could learn the scriptures is by listening to someone read them at the synagogue or by listening to a rabbi? Most people were actually illiterate. They couldn't even read. They had to listen to learn. And in fact, the tradition and the story of God's people had been passed down orally for generation after generation. In fact, someone asked me last week, why did the apostles wait 30 years to write the Gospels? Because if you know anything about history, you know that Jesus was crucified in, 33 AD, but the first gospel wasn't written until almost about 60 AD. Paul's letters start popping up in 57 AD, and I think some of the other ones in like 58 and then about 60. Why did they wait so long? Well, part of it is because they were not just focused on writing it down. They were retelling that story over and over again. Do you remember what I mentioned on Sunday morning, that Mark's gospel, he received it through Peter preaching it and telling those things over and over again? So all of those things in the book of Mark that we read that are red letter things, that are long discourses of Jesus, Peter had listened to Jesus and he'd remembered them and he had spoken them to someone else, and then someone else wrote them down, and nothing got lost in translation. You know, I know that because all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for training in righteousness. That means that it was God breathed and there was inspiration and there was authority on it. It is the infallible, inspired Word of God. And so God allowed it to be his word. Nothing was lost in translation. Why though? Because Peter didn't have spiritually dull ears to listen. Matthew didn't have spiritually dull ears to listen. They didn't have voice memos when Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount and they're recording it, the whole thing. And then AI is transcribing it for them. They didn't even have like notebooks to carry around at that point in time. They had to listen and they had to remember. So they lived in an auditory learning system. In fact, 75% of people today are visual learners. But we've changed over the course of culture. Originally, people were auditory learners because that's the only way you could learn, is to listen. Because you didn't have a notebook or a phone that you could take notes on. So if you wanted to remember what your rabbi or your teacher said, you had to listen intently. But what's happened is we've become so dependent on technology and on modern things that we don't listen, because we can always go back and listen on the podcast. We can always take notes and then read it later. We can always on Sunday scan the QR code on the seat back in front of us and download the sermon notes, and we can follow along that way. And I'm all for all of those things. Here's what I'm simply asking you is, when you come into the house of God, if you truly believe this is a house of God and you truly believe that whoever is speaking the Word of God, please listen to the Word of God. Do not be spiritually dull in your ears and think, I've already know this, I've already heard this, what is he talking about? Listen intently so that you can learn learn and you can experience what is being taught and what is being said. So when Paul would write a letter to a body of believers, whether it was the Galatians, the Colossians, the Ephesians, the Corinthians, the Thessalonians, it was read aloud in the gatherings of people and they listened intently to grasp what was being said. Because they didn't pass the letter around and everybody got to read it. Okay, the Berningers get to take the letter home tonight and they're going to read it in their home. No, it just got read. And if you wanted to know what God was saying through his Holy Spirit, you had to listen. That's why the writer says you guys have gotten dull of hearing. Not dull of reading. He said you've gotten dull of hearing. Faith doesn't come by reading and by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You may say, well, that's how I hear the word of God. I think that that's part of it, but I think that there's something about hearing. That's why Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In the book of Revelation, when all the churches, and we're going to do a series on Wednesday night on the seven churches in Revelation, but he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So for me, not for me, when I'm asking you, when you come here, I'm asking you to be a better listener. Not for me, but for you. Because it's not for me. It's so that we can be spiritually sharp, that we're listening intently to the word of God. The writer would go on and say this, you're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. Ouch. That is very direct language to literally, like, what if I came up here and my intro to tonight was, you guys are all like babies. You can't understand what I'm saying. You got to be bottle fed. You can't eat solid food. It's very direct language, but could it be that it's sharp and direct enough to cut through the dullness of the hearer's ear? That's why it's so direct. That's why it's so sharp, is because they've become dull. And it's to cause them to wake up out of their slumber, to wake and come to their senses and go, you know what? We are spiritually dull and we need to sharpen ourselves so that we can get to the place of maturity. I don't think that it's mean-spirited, because I truly believe that if you love somebody, you'll tell them the truth so that they can move beyond their error and find the truth. No, it's not out of meanness when the writer's calling them babies, it's not to make them feel bad. It's so that they'll wake up and mature beyond, because remember, we're talking about maturing to maturity. I believe that this passage of scripture was written to the hearers so that they would wake up and grow to a place of spiritual maturity. Because the writer goes on to say, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. So a true mark of a spiritually mature person is that they know how to do what is right. Having an understanding and an awareness of what is right concerning the way that we should live to honor Jesus Christ. If you find yourself in a constant quandary over what's the right thing to do, this is your wake-up call. Because it says the spiritually immature, those that are dull of hearing, those that are babies, they don't know how to do what is right. But those that are mature, they know how to do what is right. So sharpen your ears. How do you do this? You be keen on hearing what God says through his word, through his appointed teachers and preachers. You know, listening is a lost art. You know why? Because the algorithm of like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, people that are experts in that, they'll tell you that with the shorts or with reels, you have to grab someone's attention in less than a second. Because we've lost the art of listening. I remember growing up, we would love it when my grandfather would tell stories. Now the children that are mine mine are perfect. But my siblings' children, if my grandfather tries to tell a story, hardly none of them sit still. But if you put Paw Patrol on the TV, they're like this. And trust me, my grandfather's stories are way better than Paw Patrol. But we've lost the art of listening because we've been programmed to, I need it quick. I need you to grab my attention. I need shock factor. I need this. I need that. And listening's a lost art because our minds are programmed for an instant attention grab. Boom, grab my attention. And then boom. I remember I was with my boys one time at home on a Saturday and it was too early for football to come on. We were going to be watching football when it came on at 11. So they were wanting to watch like highlights, you know, on YouTube. So we're looking up Florida Gators 2008, because that's the last time we were good and we won a championship, and I want them to know we were good. And so we're watching that. Well, it turns to 11 o'clock and Auburn starts playing. I'm like, boys, let's turn on the Auburn game. We turn on the Auburn game. And I remember my boys saying, can we turn the highlights back on? And I realized something. Their mind is programmed. They want to see big catch after big tackle after touchdown after big play. And there is a live football game that's happening right here that they can watch. But they want to see something that's going to just be exciting over and over again. And that's the type of culture that we're living in. And that's why listening is a lost art for the Word of God, is because sometimes the Word of God just isn't exciting enough for us. But we have to learn to listen, because you cannot learn if you are unwilling to listen. And let me tell you this, listening is a choice. You cannot control everything that you hear, but you are in charge of everything you listen to. Listening is what you give your attention to. You're going to hear things, especially if you work in the secular world, you're going to hear things you don't need to hear every single day, but you don't have to listen to them. You listen to the right things, even though you're not in control of everything that you hear. But maturity takes time. And it, as I mentioned earlier, it takes intentionality. One thing I've learned is that time doesn't ensure maturity. I've met 50-year-olds that were immature. I've met 18-year-olds that were very mature. Because time doesn't ensure maturity. You know what ensures maturity? Listening to the right people. Focusing on the right things. Intentionality. Growth never happens by accident. Maturity never happens by happenstance. The only way that you're going to grow and you're going to mature, and this is on a natural level and a spiritual level, is by being intentional and saying, I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to transition from being bottle fed into being someone who is full grown and mature. So the writer of Hebrews says, solid food is for those who are mature. That's the Greek word, teleos. I think we have the definition of teleos in there. Do we have those, Marla? I must have downloaded the wrong one. Yep. So this is the word that is translated in Matthew chapter 5, which is where we started our first week, where Jesus says, therefore, you will be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's the Greek word teleos, and it means complete, perfect, mature. And that is the word that is used right here in Hebrews chapter 5, solid food. He's saying you guys can't handle solid food because you're dull with your hearing. Solid food is reserved for those who are teleos, those who are complete, those that have come to a place of maturity. And remember, maturity doesn't happen immediately. It happens over time, but time itself does not ensure maturity. What you do with your time will determine whether you mature or not. How you listen to what God is saying, what he's doing. And then it says, solid food is for those who mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. That word training is the Greek word gymnazo, and it's where we get our word gym. There's a variance of this word called gymnazo in Greek, and it's where we get our word gymnasium, because it means to train. Actually, if you look it up in the Greek, the literal definitions means to train naked, okay? The reason that it means that is because that's exactly how ancient Greeks trained. They trained in the nude. If you went to the gym, now I remember when I lived in North Carolina, Madison got pregnant with Judah not long after we moved there, and the pregnancy cravings hit her hard. We were eating McDonald's for breakfast, and we were eating Wendy's for lunch, and then we were going to Outback for dinner, and then we'd drive to Raleigh and go to Krispy Kreme. Okay. Now I learned very quickly that, if you eat Krispy Kreme, you look like Krispy Kreme. And, I realized that it was time to get in the gym and to work out. So I joined the YMCA, and I'll never forget. I walked into the gym and I found out they had a sauna, and I thought, well, there goes all of my productivity, because I'm going to be in the sauna. And then I realized, Caleb, that that's where all of the old men hung out naked, was in the sauna. And you know what I decided? It's worth it. I like the sauna, that much that I was like, you know what? I'll just close my eyes. Yeah, no. I was like, he's getting out of there. No. That sauna, I'd work out for, I'd tell Madison, like, I'm going to go work out. I'd go work out for 10 minutes and sit in the sauna for 45. Yeah, she's like, you're losing weight. Yeah, I'm sweating it all off, baby. I'm in the sauna. So anyways, but it literally means to practice or to train naked. Now, how do we make any spiritual sense out of this? I've talked about this before. So if you've heard me talk about this before, just don't be spiritually dull. Listen again, because Paul said to the Philippians, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you, it is helpful. And so when you hear the same things over and over again, that's how you retain things, is by hearing them repeated. The reason that I believe Paul used this word and that they would train naked, and the purpose behind their training in the nude, was so that there was nothing that would hinder their effectiveness. Because you see, they wore flowy garments. They didn't have Nike and Adidas and Under Armour and Lululemon and all that fancy stuff. So they just stripped down naked, and that's how they would train, because they didn't want anything to get in the way of what they were trying to do. And so what Paul is saying to us when he writes in another passage, and let me be honest with you. I personally think Paul wrote Hebrews, okay? It doesn't tell us, it doesn't matter, it's not salvific. So if you don't think that it is, please don't come at me and argue with me, because I don't care whether you think he did or not. I really don't. But where it says that training to have the skill is to remove anything in your life that would hinder you from getting to the place where you have the skill necessary to know the difference between right and wrong. Here's what I mean by that. I'm not a legalistic person. I don't try to preach my convictions to you guys. Hopefully you catch that. I'm not like you have to you know, listen to the same music I do or watch the same movies or do this or that. I try to not be legalistic or dogmatic in that way. I think that there are certain dogmas of the church, but then there are certain things that, you know, just it's fine. If whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. So just stay in faith. But there could be things in your life, and you need to evaluate and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal them to you. Is this getting in the way of my training to be effective in righteousness? Is this hindering me? God, it may not even be a bad thing. It may not even be sinful. There may not be anything explicitly in the Word of God that tells me it's wrong. But if it is hindering me in my training to know the difference between right and wrong, please reveal it to me so that I can get rid of it. Because he says that solid food is for the mature who through training. How do we become mature? By training. By exercising. In fact, in the New King James, it uses the word exercise. Who by exercise had know the difference between right and wrong. So here's what I want to begin to close with is this. You can do it. You can be spiritually mature. We're talking about maturing to maturity. And I don't want you to think, well, spiritual maturity is for the pastor or spiritual maturity is for the deacons. No, spiritual maturity is for every single believer. We talked about that last week when Paul was writing to the Philippians and he's encouraging them. I haven't apprehended. I haven't gotten to that place, but I'm pressing on. This is for every single person. In fact, let's look at one scripture and then I'll close. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. I don't have this back there, Marlo, so if you can follow with me. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Let's start reading in verse 27, just for a little bit of context. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man. Now remember, spiritually mature, the point I'm trying to make to you is that spiritual maturity is for every single person. He says, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, teleos, mature, complete. That's like same Greek word, in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So he's saying, I'm doing everything in my power possible, myself and the people that are traveling with me, ministering with me, to get people to the place of teleos, maturity, completion, perfection in Christ Jesus, not in themselves so they can boast about it, but in Christ Jesus. So I want you to know you can do it. And I have a silly little analogy for you. I saw this story today. Can you put up it should be the last slide. It's a picture of a garbage can, Marla. I didn't put it in there. I must have downloaded the wrong slides, did I? I'm so sorry. Okay. Anyways, go look this up. A news article came out on January the 26th in Weymouth, UK. So way across the Atlantic Ocean. And this guy is walking the beaches in Weymouth, UK. And all of a sudden, he stumbles upon a trash can. Did you see this story? And this trash can is from Baldwin County, Alabama. It's from Fort Morgan, Alabama. And they traced it down through the serial number. They were able to find out that it was lost in Hurricane Sally, which took place in September of 2026. And for 5 years, it's been lost at sea, and it washed up in Weymouth, UK. And this guy found it. And you can see the picture. You look it up. You can see on the side of it, Baldwin County, Alabama. It's all beat up, and it's cracked down the side. And so it was lost. Here's what I want to say to you. If a trash can from Baldwin County, Alabama can make it all the way across the Atlantic and wash up on the shores of Weymouth, United Kingdom, then you can become spiritually mature. You can do it. Don't have more faith in a trash can than you got in yourself growing and maturing and making it to the finish line. But you're not going to make it to the finish line like that garbage can all beat up and cracked and unable to be used. You're going to go from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from grace to grace. That's God's plan and his purpose for you. But I just want to warn you, if you become dull of hearing, I've heard it before, I know this. It's the same scripture. He's already said that before. I've already read that passage in the Word before. Become an intent listener for the Word of God and for faith and for the speaking of the things of God, and stay spiritually hungry, because hungry people become mature people. But people that get spiritually proud, people that become self-righteous, people that become conceited and they think, I already know everything. He says it's difficult for us to explain it, because you're dull of hearing. Not because we can't explain it, but because you don't listen anymore. I've had many people, especially when I was a youth pastor, they'd come to me, Pastor Jeff, and they'd ask me to talk with their young people, and they'd say, they just don't listen to us anymore. They've tuned our voice out. Maybe somebody else talking to them will help them see the light, will help them understand. And that's okay. I totally understand that. But what I'm encouraging you with is, sometimes as we grow and we get older, especially if we've been in church for a long time, we begin to tune out the voice of those that God would use to speak to us, and even tune out the voice of God himself, because we think we know everything. I'll never forget Pastor Frankie Powell told me that one time he was praying in this sanctuary. He used to pastor in Onion, Alabama, and he'd go in there and he'd pray for the service, and he's just going through, laying hands on the chairs and praying, and he felt the Holy Spirit say to him, Frankie, you're good. And Frankie was like, praise God, thank you, Holy Spirit, I'm good. He said, but the problem is you're so good that you think you can do it without me. You're good in your own eyes. And sometimes we get to that place where we begin to not listen to his voice because we've begun to think, well, I've got it. I've got it figured out. I think one of the greatest dangers and hindrances of growing and maturing is coming to a place where we're spiritually proud. Amen. All right. Stand to your feet with me tonight. Can you believe a garbage can from Fort Morgan, Alabama, washed up on the shores of Weymouth, United Kingdom? Marla, I'm sorry I messed you up on those slides and I put the wrong ones in there. I apologize. I kept looking like, why is she putting the thing up there? And it was me, y'all. That's on me. So I apologize. I made slides. I just downloaded the wrong ones. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call us to a place of maturity. And I pray that we would not be dull of hearing, but that we would sharpen our ears to hear. As Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I pray that we would not miss one hearken, one call, one thing of your voice, but that we would keep our hearts ever tuned to you and our ears open to hear. Lord, we thank you that you are still speaking and moving and operating. And I pray that you would bring us to spiritual maturity, to completion in Christ Jesus. As Paul said, we want to present every man mature in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we here at the Wellfort Payne, I just declare we move towards that goal. We want to present every single person that you bring here to a place of maturity and completion in you, wholeness and sure assurance in Christ Jesus. And so we surrender ourselves to you, and we just say we want to be here, and we want to be doers of the word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace, smile upon you, give you his name, and may you grow in maturity and walk with the Lord and have an ear that is ever tuned to hear the voice of the shepherd and the Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Love you guys so much. Have a blessed night.